Hello and welcome to I'll Bring the Bible with Mel
and Monica.
And we are excited about what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. But first, we want to chit-chat a little bit about
habits. Do you have any good habits that you could be, that would bring me encouragement?
So. Now I'm thinking about it. Good habit that I think that I have is that I do take time to rest. So that's
show off.
That's a learned habit. I think that I've learned that habit. A bad habit that I have that I actually just developed during this time of quarantine and coronavirus this past year is that I crunch ice.
You crunch ice?
I do. And I know it's bad for your teeth, but I just can't help it. So I've reduced my ice crunching to like one cup a day.
Have you crunched Sonic ice? Because you know that people buy the ice by the bag there.
Yes. Yeah, but then that makes your teeth hurt, that Sonic ice, because it's too small. It's not a good habit. Please don't do it.
Well, you know, I started thinking about this because, you know, my word is intentional.
Right, that's right.
And I haven't changed it yet. And so I was thinking, what are some habits that I have that need tossed?
Yes.
Because I don't think that we ever, especially bad habits, we don't try to have those. They just become a thing without us realizing it.
That's true.
So I think one of the things that I have that I'm not proud of is that I probably grab my phone first thing in the morning.
Oh, we all do that.
So does that make it okay?
No, just kidding.
Does that make it okay?
No.
Because if it does, then I can move on. No. I don't have any bad habits.
I think everybody checks their phone first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, honestly, like you said, it's the intentionality of the thing. But our life revolves around right now our schedule and what's going on and things like that. So,
but I wonder if I could replace that with, before my feet hit the floor, I don't grab my phone. Of course, I know my alarm clock is on my phone. But if I turned off the alarm and before my feet hit the floor, before I grabbed that phone, I just stopped and prayed.
Yes.
I've tried that before, and, you know, it's really great when I do. But
then
I have to say,
and
you do, because I think it just becomes such a habit that, you know, when you're sleepy and you're trying to wake up, and then you're like, oh, let's see if I've got, if I got anything important that I need to address right off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about habits, not only because I'm trying to be intentional, because it's my word, but we are talking about Jesus' prayer today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And throughout the Gospels, Jesus' prayers were documented 25 times.
Wow.
Maybe
more. I didn't
even
know that there were that many.
Yeah. Over 25 times. So I would say that Jesus made a habit out of prayer.
He did. He did.
So if we want to, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
He would pray.
That's right.
Clearly. What are some different times in Scripture, I think, that where we see Jesus praying? Can you think of any other than the one that we're going to talk about today?
Well, Jesus prayed at his baptism.
He did pray at his baptism.
And the heavens opened.
And the heavens opened, yes.
I wish I could have seen that. That's one thing that I wish I could have been there for all of Jesus' ministry, but that is one of the things that I've always wanted to see in real life.
I remember hearing Beth Moore say one time that she thinks that there's going to be heavenly videotape.
I hope so.
That we can just watch all of those magnificent stories play out.
I agree with that.
And listeners, there's no theology behind that. There's no theology behind that. We just know that in God's grace, and we really want to see this stuff. And so, and we've got eternity.
Right.
I think maybe, hopefully, we can see some of that.
Perhaps we will just know it.
Maybe we will know it, and maybe we won't care. I don't know. But anyway, it would be really cool to see all of that.
Yeah, it would be.
I think about when he prayed in the desert when he was being tempted.
Yes.
He used scripture and the word. He used scripture and prayer to combat the enemy.
When he fed the large crowds, he did bless that food, didn't
right?
he?
Mm-hmm.
Best when blessed. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Your food is best when it's blessed.
Oh, I just know that we are supposed to bless the hands that that prepared it and stuff.
Got to bless the food. Bless this food to the nourishment
of
our
bodies.
whether it's healthy or not.
Right. Please let this cookie nourish me, Lord. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, asking God to take the cup of wrath from him right before he was crucified. Mm-hmm. But this prayer that we're going to talk about today, this prayer is unique.
Yep.
This prayer is called the High Priestly Prayer. So what do we know about the high priest from the Old Testament? Because I think that it's important as we study this prayer to understand really what the high priest's role was.
Right, exactly. He is extremely important and subject to death. I know that.
Right.
And I know you're going to get into that a little bit more. But
yeah, so in the Old Testament, the temple was where God put his name and his presence under the Old Covenant, the covenant that God had with his chosen people, Israel. It's where the sacrificial system was set up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a place called the Holy of Holies, which is very important to this prayer. It was the inner sanctuary of the temple where God's presence was manifested. It was covered with a veil that no one could enter through except for the high priest. And it was only once a year on the Day of Atonement where he offered a blood sacrifice for the sins of the people.
And didn't he have to be completely holy
to enter? Right, he had to purify himself. There was all manner of rituals that he had to go through to make sure that he was purified.
And if not, he would die.
Right.
Because he was entering into the Holy of Holies. So I was thinking that this was a very intense job. And I have learned about it, you know, especially as a little girl, you're like, oh, the high priest who has to tie a rope around his ankle when he enters into the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Because if he's not pure, then nobody can enter into the Holy of Holies without dying.
Exactly.
So that's why he was the only one, if he was pure enough, to be able to enter into the presence. And if not, that's why he had a rope tied around his ankle, right?
Right.
So that they could pull him out. I mean, this is an intense
job. Because they couldn't go in there after him. It wasn't like they could call 911 and have people go in there after him, resuscitate him. No, because they would all die too.
You're talking about somebody who has to have a very pure fear of the Lord to go before him in confidence that he would survive.
Right. So we need to place this particular prayer into the context of time.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus prayed the prayer in John 17, he was still in the upper room, and that was where the first Lord's Supper took place. He had washed the disciples' feet. He had told them that one day, that one of them would betray him.
Mm-hmm.
And they shared the Passover meal together. They shared the first communion that we still to this day participate in as one of the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
He told them that they would be soon without him, and that they would be scattered, and that they would have difficulty. But he also reminded them to take heart because he had overcome the world.
So he told them a lot.
He told them. This was very important in their faith.
They had basically received one of the greatest teaching of their lives
in this prayer. Yeah.
In this prayer, because, and right before he prayed, you know, these are things that are preached on all the time. All the time.
All the time.
So they had just received this sermon, I guess.
A lot happened in that upper room. Mm-hmm.
Intensity. A sermon of intensity.
And so you think the disciples over the previous 3 years, they had left their lives, their livelihood, everything to follow Jesus. And they had watched him heal a sick, perform miracles, drive out demons. They watched him have authority over death, hunger, devastation. And their world was about to turn upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in that instance, think about it. Try to just like imagine the disciples were about to hear their high priest intercede for them to the Father. It was like they were getting to eavesdrop on a conversation God was having with God.
Mm-hmm.
And much of it, not all, but much of it was about them.
Yeah, that's a lot.
They were having a front row seat to the Holy of Holies, the high priest before God. Can you imagine? I mean, I get chills just even thinking about it. Can you imagine being there?
Yeah, I'm wondering if they even realized all the complexities behind it. They probably didn't.
They didn't, but I just think because of the complexities, there had to have been the energy.
And the Spirit. I bet they felt the Spirit in the room.
Oh, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And what we will see is that even though the Holy Spirit isn't particularly mentioned in this prayer, he's all over it.
Oh, yeah.
He's all over it.
Oh, yeah. He is in it and through it and weaved, and he's there.
And we've got to know that he was working in their mm-hmm. hearts as they had a front row seat mm-hmm. to this moment. What a holy moment.
Yeah. Probably some confusion, some awe, maybe some anxiety. But
yeah, anxiety. Judas. Judas was like,
ooh. But exciting. I mean, I think you know that when you're in a place where you really, when you feel the Holy Spirit's presence, mm-hmm. it's a special moment.
Mm-hmm.
Special. So I think like that's how it was.
When Peter said that he felt the wind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not felt the wind, but saw the wind.
Uh-huh.
You know, we feel it, but just feeling it to the point where you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Special.
But it definitely would have been something. So I think the disciples' heads would have had to have been spinning out of control in some form or fashion.
Yeah. Mine would.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at this passage chunk by chunk and okay. dive into this prayer that Jesus prayed just before he headed to the cross. We could really break this prayer down in an entire Bible study. You want to? Maybe we should.
Maybe we should, yeah.
Maybe
we
should.
We're going to write a book about it.
But not today, folks. Not today. We're not that prepared.
No, we're not.
But we're going to take it in the three natural breaks that were provided in Scripture. Jesus prays for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus prays for the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus prays for his church, which mm-hmm. is what we're going to discuss next week.
Yep.
I think maybe we should just start reading it. What do you think?
I think we should read it and go through it. And you all, listeners, stick with us here. This is a huge blessing.
John 17:1 through 5, and this is in the Christian Standard Bible, because that's the one that I decided I was going to use this
year. Right. So you're being intentional about using
it. Yeah, being intentional. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you gave him authority over all people, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave to me. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. We see here that Jesus prays for the glory of Christ to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And God being referred to as Father occurs over 100 times in the book of John alone.
Hmm.
I think we take that for granted. Don't you think that we take that for granted?
Mm-hmm.
He refers to him as Father 6 times in this particular passage. So anything that's that repetitive, you have to kind of like poke your ears up and pay attention.
Yes.
And it shows the unique relationship that the eternal Son has with the Father because of Christ and being able to be adopted as co-heirs with Christ. Being united in him, we get to refer to God as Father.
Yeah, this was a lesson that I learned as a teenager, actually, when my parents had divorced when I was about 5 mm-hmm. years old. And when I was a teenager, you know, teenager's crisis time. And I was struggling with my dad and thinking about how much it stank not to have a dad around, my real dad around, mm-hmm. to help raise me. And every night in bed, I would just cry to God and ask him to be my father. And that's, he taught me
mm-hmm.
and obviously used the Holy Spirit to comfort me and remind me that he is my true father. And so if you haven't fully embraced that, do it, because it's a mm-hmm. great, it's a great thing to know that you truly have a father in your heavenly Father.
And I think too, you know, throughout the Old Testament, there were times that God was referred to as Father mm-hmm. in relation to his people Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But to truly have God as your Father, you have to be in Christ.
Yes, yes.
And what a privilege it is.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that we see Jesus praying for himself. He seems to be focused on the joy set before him. You know, a good place to start in trying to understand John 17 is reading the book of Hebrews.
Yes.
So this kind of led me to Hebrews 12:2, where it says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and protector of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus' mission on earth as a man of sorrows, living in life and living in flesh and experiencing all that humanity had to offer, was coming to an end. And he asked the Father in verse 5 to glorify him, together with the Father, with the glory which he had before the world began. He was looking forward to returning home, where he continues to reign with the Father at his right hand as our mediator, or our high priest.
Our high priest, which is what the high priest then did. He went in front of the Holy of Holies with the sin of the people, and he mediated the sin. Now we don't have to do that.
We don't have to do that.
Because Jesus is the ultimate mediator.
And some dude doesn't have to purify himself and tie a rope to his leg.
That's what's so beautiful about, one of the most beautiful things about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us on the cross is that he wiped away all of the rituals that they had to do and go through, that they had to do.
Right.
It's just a beautiful picture, a beautiful picture.
And you know, and Scripture talks several times about Jesus being at the right hand of the Father right now. Do we really understand what that means?
I don't.
I don't think we think about it.
I think literally at the right hand. I'm sure he's at the right. I don't know. Who knows? I don't.
But what it really means is that he is there, interceding
there
right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's just, we don't deserve that.
We don't.
He also, in this passage, mentions his hour had come. Jesus often speaks about his hour. It refers to both his hour of crucifixion and his hour of exaltation. His glory was to come through his suffering on the cross. Jesus' completion of his mission was about to transpire right here through the cross.
Yes.
Suffering is such a part of the Christian life. And we see here that the hour of crucifixion was also the hour of his exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
It came through suffering.
Yes.
In our culture today, we try to run from suffering like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we haven't been able to this year. We haven't been able to run from it.
It's just chasing us down. We are constantly reminded every time we put the mask on.
Yep. Every time a friend loses a family member to coronavirus, every time a friend gets coronavirus, I mean, you feel that, you know, there's different levels of it,
and
for sure.
I work in a hospital, and I see the ramifications of this horrible, horrible thing. But God will be glorified, and we don't have to fear. We have to be smart. We have to be kind through all of this, and we have to be sacrificial, just like Christ was. But suffering is not something that we have to fear as believers. We are promised that it's coming. But in this case, the trajectory of all of life happened through suffering on the cross.
Yes.
What else does it talk about here? It says Jesus tells us that he gives eternal life to all those whom God has given him. He uses the word given 16 times in this prayer. Another point to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
This points to God's sovereignty over his people. And we should rejoice in the fact that we've been given to our Savior.
Yes.
I think we think about Jesus being given to us as a gift, but we are also given to Christ as a gift. And we can get into that more in a little bit. Verse 3 says, eternal life is knowing God through the sent one. Who's the sent one? Jesus. There's no other way to have eternal peace except through Jesus. Eternal life consists in fellowship with God. Here's an interesting quote that I found from Augustine. He was, like 100 BC or, 100 AD or something? Mm-hmm. He was like one of the early church fathers. He said, eternal life consists in fellowship with God, who created us for himself so that our soul is restless unless it finds rest in him.
Yeah, that's true, though.
Mm-hmm. We are always searching for something.
Always. Or else people wouldn't be trying to, you know, find themselves. I've heard of people saying, "Oh, I'm in a funk. I'm in a funk. I've got to get out of my funk. I've got to find my peace," and things like that. And if only they would turn to Jesus and know He is the true peace.
Well, and here through this suffering, Jesus asked to be glorified. Do you think that since Jesus asked God to glorify Him, that we should do the same?
I think this can be thought about this question when I read it, and I think this can be a difficult question for a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist like myself, because growing up, we're taught a lot about that we're sinners in need of a Savior, which is absolutely true. Uh-huh. but we're not, it, so that was like, you know, nailed into our heads all the time, but rarely on being bold and asking for things like glory from God. That's just not something that you ask for. Mm-hmm. I mean, no.
Well, I mean, and God is the only. Right, exactly. Well, I think here, when Jesus asked for God to glorify him, he said also asking for God to be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's where things get kind of clouded.
Yeah.
Are we asking God to bless us for our own purposes,
right,
and for us to shine and make a name for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we saying, glorify yourself with my body?
Yep.
I mean, that's what Jesus was doing.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the hardest things about being on doing a ministry and being on social media.
Right.
Always having to check yourself and making sure that that you're not trying to just glorify mm-hmm. yourself, but glorify God in this particular work that you're doing that so is so particular and so public. So that's what it's hard.
Right. And there was a quote from, I believe it was Spurgeon. I love quoting dead guys. They're my favorite. And I don't have it in front of me. So, but it was something to the fact that, do we really think that we will be honored in a place where our Lord was not?
Right. That's true. I thought when you had shared that quote with me, I thought it's really telling mm-hmm. about, you know, what we put out there.
Right.
So
Jesus also went on to say that the Father had given him authority over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as God had given him. And this is a reminder here of God's sovereign role in our salvation. The cross that was going to bring glory to God's name, was going to do so by saving all that the Father had sent him.
Mm-hmm.
This means what we had just kind of briefly talked about just a minute ago. This means that I am a gift from the Father to the Son.
Yeah.
That gets missed.
That does.
Mm-hmm. We are searching for...
It's a little uncomfortable, too, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because we are told to die to self and to not be prideful.
Uh-huh.
And so, but can you be prideful about something that Scripture tells us that we have?
Right.
Because if it's a source of pride, then we're kind of missing the point.
Right, exactly.
Being human, it's always about checking ourselves, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it mm-hmm. is.
We know that salvation is a gift to us through Christ, but uh-huh. not only that, we are gifts given to Christ by the Father. I think we compartmentalize the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then the body of Christ to the point that we don't get the perfect unity in the interwoven tapestry that the Trinity is.
Yep.
And then the body of Christ is united to them.
It's kind of a complex thought.
It's very complex.
And I think it's one of those ones that you just have to know that this is what God prayed mm-hmm. for. And he prayed for us to have unity.
Right.
And but when you get into the intricacies of it, it can be a little overwhelming.
I think
worth it though.
I think that we should research it and study it because it will give us a deeper love for him.
Yes. Yes.
But while we don't understand it,
uh-huh.
accept it.
Right, exactly. It's okay. We don't have to fully understand everything. We're not God. All right.
Knowing that we are a gift to Christ from the Father, what does that do to our identity? Hmm. Do you think if we truly understood that our identity is tied to Christ, that we would struggle the way we do?
I don't think we would struggle. I mean, if we accepted that on the daily and that was always on our mind. Mm-hmm. But I think that as in anything, there's growth in the Christian process. And it takes us a little while to get to that point, doesn't it?
I think that if we think that we've gotten there, then we really need to like hunker down and make sure that we continue with that.
Right.
I think it's a process. I think it's part of sanctification. I think
right.
it's part of growing in your faith. And because we live in sinful bodies, we're always going to fight that.
Right. You have to undo a lot of negative thinking mm-hmm. too to reach that point. To overcome it. I think for me personally, I think it looks different for everybody, I think that there's just some people that are ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was a big journey, long journey. And it took a lot of repetition of verses and telling myself over and over again that Jesus loves me and that I am who I am in Christ. And repeating mm-hmm. those verses that tell me who I am, that I'm valued.
I think it's a practice. It's mm-hmm. part of it's a discipline of the faith. And I think that if maybe I reminded myself that of the morning before I got up and turned my phone on, maybe my identity. I think that we are all in such an identity crisis.
Oh yeah.
And this is why, because we don't recognize our own identity, I think.
Yeah, and we're in a fight against the world. Wants to shove mm-hmm. things in our minds all the time.
We also see that the Father giving Christ a people that Christ would redeem through his work mm-hmm. that was set before him, before the foundation of the world, on the cross, and that Christ would unite himself with what glorifies both the eternal Son and the eternal Father. And even though the Holy Spirit isn't named here, like we said before, he's all over it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He is. I said exactly. This seems like a lot of information to kind of soak in. So what we've decided is we're going to stop here. And we encourage you to listen again. But more importantly, to read that first piece of Jesus' praise for himself. And mm-hmm. Monica, do you think that you could give us kind of an overview of what we just talked about?
We talked about that Jesus is our high priest. Mm-hmm. He is mediating and interceding at the right hand of the Father, and that he has made a way to himself.
What's great about that is that nobody, no person has to do that for us anymore. We have direct communication with Jesus, right?
Right. We have direct communication. Mm-hmm. And that Jesus prayed that he would be glorified.
Mm.
And he was glorified in the hour that had come.
Yes.
Which was the work that was finished on the cross through his death.
Amen.
Through his suffering, he has given us a way back to the Father who gave us to him.
Yes.
We are a gift to Christ as he is a gift to us, mm-hmm. and that we are united with them. And that all of that brings glory to the Lord, both the Father and the Son, as well as the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So Jesus prayed for all of those things. He prayed for us, and he still prays for us seated at the right hand of God.
Wow. It's awesome mm-hmm. and amazing. What a mighty God we serve. So, well, thanks for sharing all of that. And I'm just kind of overwhelmed by God now.
Just if I could remind you of one thing, is that you are also, as Christ was a gift to you, that uh-huh. you were given to Christ by the Father, and he went to the cross and died for you to give you continual access.
Yeah, that's really special. Yeah. It really is special. And to think about how all of that kind of is interwoven with each other. Wow, we don't understand it now, but I'm looking forward to a day when we will be fully reunited with Christ in heaven.
From glory to glory. When we are glorified.
Right. When we are glorified.
When we see him face to face.
Yes. Amen. That
we will
be
understand.
Quite a day.
Yeah. So do you think you can try to have a holy habit now?
A holy habit. I think I'm just trying to keep praying every day and in the Bible every day.
That sounds like a great idea.
Sometimes I feel like I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's mm-hmm. great habit. It's awesome. And then other times it's like,
right.
Not very good. Yeah. I'm too tired. I get mm-hmm. too wrapped up in stuff. And my holy habit isn't feeling so holy anymore.
Right. Right. I hear you. But God is gracious enough that when we miss days on end
yes.
without any time with him, that when we open up our Bibles and we close our eyes and we cry out to him, mm-hmm. he's there.
Always.
He doesn't even say, where you been?
No. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
He's like, welcome.
Hi. I'm glad you're here. So we are just so encouraged by the Lord today. And we will pick up this conversation with actually Jesus praying for his disciples next week. And we're excited about going through with that. Hey, if you are listening today, thank you so much. We are so grateful for all 7 of our listeners. And keep an eye out, because we have a website that is going to come out. I don't know when, but soon, in a few weeks. So we're really excited about that. And in the meantime, you can keep in communication with us through Facebook and Instagram. We try to encourage you every day with something. And we hope that you enjoy it. And you can always talk to us there, send us a message, give us some feedback, and share this with other people you think would love to hear about the Word of God. Thank you so much for joining us here at I'll Bring the Bible. Bye.
Bye.
There we go.
So throughout the Gospels.
Let's transition that better.
Okay. So.
Speaking of habits,
I say so at the beginning of almost every sentence.